Amen. I see you are a very obedient group. Brother Jim told you to sing it right out, and wow, that third verse was something compared to the first. So, amen. That was good. Hebrews 5, Hebrews chapter 5. This might be a very unusual title to a message, but the title is The Key to Your Salvation is an Unanswered Prayer. The key to your salvation is an unanswered prayer. Not an answered prayer, but an unanswered prayer. Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for these hymns that we can sing and lift up our hearts to you. I pray that the Holy Spirit now would have his way in each of our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with what? Infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but that he said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with what? Strong crying and what? Tears. Unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. This is a basis, our passage today, for what we're going to see as an unanswered prayer that became the key to our salvation. Now I'm going to ask you a question. You got to be honest. You can't be intimidated. You just have to be totally honest. How many of you have ever prayed and had an unanswered prayer in your life? Okay, all right. An unanswered prayer. I can remember, how many of you were excited about that unanswered prayer? Okay, all right. Most of the time, we're not too excited about unanswered prayer, but we're going to see this morning that can be quite different. How many of you remember a time in your life when you prayed about something specifically and God answered that prayer and you were excited? Okay, all right, many on that one. I can remember an exciting answer to a prayer. In my teen years, I had drifted away from the Lord and was not close to him as I ought to have been, and a little later on in those years, I was drawing nigh to God again. But one night we were out snowmobiling with some other people. And a branch or a briar, I forget. In my recollection, it seems like it was briars. We went through a patch of woods, and there were some briars. And anyway, you know how it goes. The first one, you know, kind of pushes things aside, and then they can snap back. Well, one snapped back and took the contact lens out of one of Sandy's eyes. And so we stopped the snowmobiles and looked. And let's see, can you imagine looking in the moonlight for a contact lens? Now, these were the hard contacts, and they were slightly tinted brown, but we could not find that contact lens. And so that was Saturday night. So the next day, Sunday, I was going to look for that contact in the afternoon after the morning service. So I went out. It was not property I was really familiar with, but I found the patch of woods. And so I began to search in those woods for that contact lens, and I was praying, Lord, please help me to find this contact lens. And I knew, humanly speaking, it was impossible to find, but I was just praying. And so I really had not gone out there dressed as warm as I should, because when you're snowmobiling, that means there's snow on the ground, and that means it's cold. And so I went out there and began to search. Excuse me. I followed all these little holes in the snowbanks down, or I tried to. Have you ever tried to follow a hole in the snow? I mean, you know, it clogs ahead of you. But I tried my best, and I come to a dead end each time. Every little hole, I came to a dead end. And so I looked and searched and prayed and searched and got colder and colder and colder and was searching, and I didn't want to give up. And so I knew that God knew where it was, and I sure knew I didn't know where it was. But I knew God could show me if it was His will. And I don't think up to that point I had actually seen a contact lens. Sandy just described it to me. Well, it's small and it's round and it's slightly tinted brown. And so I was just looking for something like that. And at first I was looking to the side of the trail, because I figured, you know, if a branch slaps back across you, you know, it's going to fling it out. So I was searching both sides, and I don't know how long I was out there. And finally, I decided to search the trail itself. The reason I hadn't done it is, as I said, I figured the contact lens was probably flung off to the side. And so, as you can imagine, a snowmobile trail, the snow was packed down. I had no clue how many snowmobiles had passed that same trail the previous evening after we had passed through. Back in those days, it seems like you'd get whole groups of snowmobiles. I can remember when I was a boy, just, I don't know, dozens and dozens of snowmobiles would go by in whole groups. People used to do that. They don't seem to do that so much anymore. But so I just figured a lot of snowmobiles had been over that trail through the night, and that it was kind of futile to search the trail. And then I looked down on the trail, and, you know, you have twigs from the floor of the forest, as it were, that are showing through, and leaves, you know, brown leaves. But I began to search the packed snowmobile path. And suddenly my eye came on something that was perfectly round. And nothing out in the woods is perfectly round. But suddenly my eye saw something right on the hard packed snowmobile path that was perfectly round. I reached down there, and there it was, the contact lens. And I was just so excited, because when I was a boy, I'd heard missionaries come through church, and they told about these wonderful answers to prayer. I remember a missionary coming through talking about he bought a travel trailer to do deputation, and they were so hard up for money. And then the travel trailer had toilet problems backing up. So, you know, he was kind of murmuring he had to take the toilet off from the floor, you know, and fix it. And I don't know where down in there, but there someone had stashed money down in that travel trailer in the floor, and he found it through the process of having to fix that toilet. And so, I mean, but it seemed like to me in my life that it was only the missionaries that got great answers to prayer. And so I was so excited when God helped me to find that contact lens. I was frozen. I was numb on the outside, but on the inside, I was just thrilled. I was so excited, and so I couldn't wait to take that contact lens to Sandy and tell her what had happened. And so that is an answer to prayer that encouraged me in my life that, you know what, God does answer prayer. He answers impossible things He can do. And so it encouraged me. Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. So that was a great answer to prayer. But have you ever had a prayer, as I asked a few moments ago, that was not answered, that you were excited about, that God didn't answer that prayer? Well, I had one like that too. Maybe one comes to your mind. I had saved up my money when I was in my teenage years, and so When I turned 15, I had enough money to buy a car. And so I figured I'd have to do work on it. So I bought a car and it needed work done. And so I was 15. I couldn't drive it yet, but that was okay because I had work to do on it. So I purchased it and was working on it. And so I had that car for some years. And on one occasion, I was just kind of tired of working on that used car. And so I wanted to buy a brand new car. So there used to be a Chevy dealer out north of Greenville, and I went out there and had the salesman price me out a brand new Camaro. And I think the price was $3,200, $3,232. It was $3,232. Oh, for those days. A brand new car for $3,000. Should have bought 10 of them and just put them in the barn. Amen. The only problem is in those days, $2,000 or $3,000 seemed like a lot of money. So I had the salesman price it all out. But he told me, he says, if you're going to trade in your car, you need to get it looking really nice. So my car had some rust spots coming through, and so I worked on it. In fact, I talked to my dad, asked him if he'd go in with me because I had no credit. And so I would have to have someone co-sign with me for that car. I didn't have enough to pay cash for it. And so I worked all night one Friday night on that car, cutting out rust, putting in Bondo, that's that plastic filler, waiting for it to dry, using hot lamps to get it to dry. And then sanding it and more Bondo and putting the lamps to it to get it to dry. And that process over and over again. And then priming it, putting the heat onto it, trying to get it to dry. And then putting the final coat of paint on it, the heat to it. And by morning, my eyes felt like the sandpaper that I'd been using all night. But finally, as the sun rose, the car was ready. And I was excited. So about the time for breakfast, I went in and said to my dad, "I'm ready to go when they open up." And he said he couldn't go. He just didn't have a peace about it. And I didn't know at that time that I didn't realize the Bible said, not to co-sign notes with people. And he just told me, he says, "I can't go. I can't do it." I was so disappointed. I was thinking, I stayed up all night working on my car. I don't understand why you don't want to go now. And I didn't understand. I was really disappointed. I'm 53 right now. That was the closest I ever came to buying a brand new car. The closest. I was almost there. And so I didn't understand for a while, but I don't know exactly when that was, but I'd guess in the next year, year and a half, Sandy and I got married. And then you know what I realized? That unanswered prayer was a great blessing because if I would have been under car payments, I couldn't have afforded to have gotten married. And that suddenly hit me. It took me a year, year and a half, but suddenly I realized, thank you, Lord, for not answering that prayer. Thank you that morning that my dad would not go co-sign to buy that brand new car because right now I'd be stuck with it and I could no way afford to get married. I could barely afford to do it the way it was. With the car, a car payment would have put me out of touch. I couldn't have done it. So that was in my life as I was preparing this message. I just thought that was one exciting answer to prayer for me, and then one unanswer to prayer that later I was excited about. I was thankful for it. Let's turn to Psalm 106. Psalm 106. But what is there about this unanswered prayer that's the key to our salvation? Psalm 106, verse 15. Psalm 106, 15. And he gave them their request, but sent what? Leanness into their soul. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Psalm 106:15. That is referring back to the children of Israel. They murmured many times against the Lord, and sometimes he would finally answer their prayer, but they wouldn't be happy. Like when he gave them the meat, he gave them so much meat it was coming out their nose, their nostrils. Now, I can remember when I was a boy sometimes drinking root beer, and somebody gets you to laugh, and pop comes out your nose. I've had that happen, but I've never had meat come out my nose. I can't imagine eating so much meat that it came out my nose. That wouldn't be pleasant, I guess. But how can the key to our salvation be an unanswered prayer? I thought to get saved, we had to call upon the Lord. Notice in Romans 10, isn't that what the Bible says? If we have to, from our hearts, cry out to God, and that is prayer, whether it's an audible cry or a silent cry from the heart, that's still prayer. How can an unanswered prayer be the key to our salvation when it seems like the key to our salvation is crying out to God, is praying? Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall what? Call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Verse 9. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let's go back to Hebrews 5. What does this statement mean that we read? Hebrews chapter 5, this strong crying, prayers, supplications. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 5. Hebrews 5, 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, who was the one with the unanswered prayer? Well, the one here is Jesus. He's the one with the strong crying and tears. The strong crying and tears. Now, you may say, well, I don't understand this. You're trying to say that Jesus had an unanswered prayer. That's the key to our salvation. I don't understand it because I thought the Bible says that Jesus' prayers were always heard. They were. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm saying the key to our salvation is an unanswered prayer. I'm not saying an unheard prayer. I'll explain more as we go along here, but let's turn to John chapter 11. It is true that the Father always heard Jesus' prayers. Always. John 11 and verse 39. John 11, verse 39. John 11, 39. The Bible says, Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Verse 40. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast, what? Heard me. And I knew that thou, what? Hearest me always. Verse 41, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Verse 42, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, and so on. So I am not saying that God the Father never, I used two negatives there, but anyway, I'm not trying to say that the Father did not hear his Son. He always heard the Son. Jesus always pleased his Father. But when it comes to verses like in Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Jesus never had that problem because he never regarded iniquity in his heart. He was never sinful. Okay? He was the sinless Son of God. So notice here, well, back in Hebrews 5, I guess I should have had you stick something in there, that passage. We'll be back and forth here, but Hebrews 5 once again. No, the Bible is very specific in Hebrews 5 that Jesus' prayer was heard, but it was not answered. We'll see more about that, but Hebrews 5, verse 7. Hebrews 5, 7. Though in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, and that he feared. So it said he was heard. Now, when did Jesus ever pray and he have an unanswered prayer? Well, let's look here in Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Matthew 26. In Matthew 26, and the setting for this, the strong crying and tears and prayer, was in the time when someone is able to save him from death, Hebrews 5, 7 says. So it was the time, this prayer is referenced, is the time just before Jesus' death. And in Matthew 26 here, in verse 37, Matthew 26 in verse 37. The Bible says, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding what? Sorrowful, even unto what? Death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Now, if you still have your place, hold your place here in Matthew, but if you still have your place marked in Hebrews 5, I want you to notice in verse 7 there, the middle of verse 7, Hebrews 5, 7, says, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. And so back then in Matthew 26, verse 38, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup, what? Pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what, could not you watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. So he's praying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass. What does the cup symbolize? His blood, his blood. Okay, let's go to Mark, the book of Mark, in chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Jesus is praying, Father, if you be willing, let this cup pass from me, this cup of death, giving my blood, bearing the sin of the world. Mark 14, verse 33. Mark 14, 33. 14:33, and he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, my soul is exceeding what? Sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might what? Pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this what? This cup from me. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will. Not what I will. What was he willing? That the cup be taken away. That this hour might pass. They not have to endure it. But he says, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he goes on in verse, through verse 41. He prays the same thing three times. Then in Luke 22, Luke chapter 22, we find once again this unanswered prayer. Luke 22 in verse 41. Luke 22:41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. Verse 42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this what? This cup from me. Nevertheless, not what? My will, not my prayer, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. You hold your place there and compare that again to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5 and verse 7. Hebrews 5, 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. So back in Luke 22, there, Luke 22, verse 44, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and so on it goes again. So it was a very emotional time, a very agonizing time. But Jesus' prayer that this cup might be removed from him that hour was not answered. And that's why I say that unanswered prayer is the key to our salvation. Being that if Jesus would not have given his blood for us, we could never be saved. So, and you notice he always put to his prayer, not my will, but thine be done. And you may say, I don't understand this. I thought Jesus came to save sinners. He did. Then you say, well, I do not understand why just before he's ready to die, he's praying that the hour might pass from him and that he might have not to endure this cup that is to give his blood. If he came to die for us, if he came to die that we might be saved, if he came to give his blood that we might be saved, then why is he praying that this cup might be removed? Well, what is hard for us to understand is because we are sinful creatures. But Jesus was absolutely holy. Jesus had never once committed a sin. Jesus had never once in his mind entertained a sin. And so the thought of someone perfectly holy bearing our sin, the sin of the world, I'm afraid we can't hardly comprehend that thought. But you have someone who is absolutely holy, just about to be loaded down with a filthy, vile sin of this world, every filthy, vile sin of this world. And that was not something which he enjoyed. He is holy, absolutely holy. And so he's praying, Father, if thou be willing, allow this hour to pass. If thou be willing that I not have to bear this cup, that all these filthy, vile sins might not be put on me. There was no way in the world that he could delight in what was just about to happen. Yes, he would delight beyond that, but not at the thought. If you can imagine the most filthy, vile thing imaginable to be just smothered all over you, there's no way you could enjoy it. No way. So he's praying. Notice in Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews 12. Why did he pray, "Not my will, but thine be done"? Because he was looking beyond. He was looking beyond. In Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 2. Let's read verse 1. Hebrews 12, 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the what? The joy that was set before him endured the cross." It did not say he enjoyed the cross. It says he endured the cross. That was not an enjoyable time where he bore our sin. But it was the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and what? Faint in your minds. Now stop and think about it. Most of you, when I ask about that unanswered prayer that you remembered, you did not enjoy it. But now? Now can you think of any prayers that God did not answer that now you're thankful he didn't? And so as we look at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, he endured the cross. He endured an unanswered prayer. And what did it bring about? Joy in the end. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus' prayer was not answered. You may say, well, it was kind of, wasn't it? Because didn't he say, "Thy will be done"? That's true. But he's making it very clear that in himself, it was a horrible thought to bear the sin of the world. And he's praying, "If it be possible, let this hour pass. If it be possible, take this cup away that I would not have to bear it." So Jesus endured an unanswered prayer for us. And that Saturday morning when my dad said, "No, Mike, I won't go." I didn't understand then. But later on, I did. And later on, I had joy. Later on, it was, "Thank you, Lord, that my dad said no. Thank you, Lord. I did not understand. I poured myself into that morning, all night. I didn't understand then, but later on, I had joy. I had joy." And so this Hebrews 12 is telling us, listen, upon that same basis, think about what Jesus did. He endured something which he did not relish enduring. But he looked beyond that to the joy. And there will be times like in our lives the same way. We'll have strong crying and tears. It'll be a very emotional time. "Lord, please, please help me. Lord, I need this thing. Please, God, have mercy upon me." And the tears will flow. And I want you to remember that Jesus endured such a time, only so much greater than any of our times. He endured an unanswered prayer, leaving it, "Father, thy will be done." And because he was willing to endure an unanswered prayer, that was the key to our salvation. Because his blood had to be shed for us. He had to bear our sins in his own body on the tree, 1 Peter 2:24. We never could have been saved. So please don't get mad at God when we go through those times of strong crying and tears. Don't get mad at God. Just think of what Jesus did for us. And just look beyond for the joy. Leave it, Father, thy will be done. So Jesus had an unanswered prayer, that we might have an answered prayer. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We could never have received that answered prayer if it wasn't for Jesus' unanswered prayer. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for what the Lord Jesus endured for us. And Lord, it's hard for us to imagine someone perfectly holy, someone who had never sinned, to be loaded down, to bear in his own body suddenly the filthy, vile sins of every person who ever lived. We can't even dream how horrible that would feel, how horrible that would be. And Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus who willingly endured that for us, and so that we could have an answered prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, please work in our hearts. Encourage our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.